Part 3. Permission to Pursue Your Dreams. Can you fall in love with an experience? Because that's what happened to me the first time I performed stand-up comedy. It was like stand-up took me out for a date, spent the night at my house, and gave me 10 back-to-back orgasms. He left before I woke up. All I got was a note saying, "You were great. You should try me again." I was one of those kids who was always putting on a show. My specialty was the post-Kingdom Hall Sunday Review. My whole family would get together after church, and us kids would put on a talent show. My cousins, my sisters, and I would sing, dance, and recite poetry. My grandmother Mary used to nudge me, "Go do your little program." I'd sing, but I wasn't a good singer, which is probably how I got my first laughs. Stand-up comedy wasn't on my radar when I was a kid, but the radio was. I'd put the fan next to my radio and sing because the fan made my voice quiver. My ambitions were vague. I wanted to do something big. I never thought being funny would be my big thing, but as a kid, I used humor to diffuse racial tension. The Chicago suburb where I grew up was white, and in case your copy of this book does not have a cover, I am not. In school, I generally got picked last for things. One time, a girl got stuck with me on her track team. "I don't want no nigga on my team," she complained. I don't remember what I said, but somehow I made her laugh. Unfortunately, that wasn't an isolated incident. I heard it enough that making the N-word offender laugh became my official policy. Not that it cured anybody of saying it. Often my hard work would be rewarded with, "Oh, that nigger is so funny." That's probably why I get upset when white people use that word, no matter what the context. I can take the N-word from black people because I know where they're coming from, but when a white person uses it, I'm gonna get upset. And now you understand why. I've expressed my thoughts about it many times on The View. I'd never considered trying stand-up comedy until I saw it live. My girls, other legal secretaries, and I decided to treat our...
David? Yeah. I'm sorry, what are you reading?
It's chapter 3, Permission.
I'm not sure that's your book, though. That's not what I have on my script.
Oh, you know what? I was going to say, I'm not black or a woman, and I didn't grow up in Chicago.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I'm not on The View.
No.
Well, what? I didn't think I wrote this. Is this James Fry's thing, or?
No, I don't think it is. Is there a name at the bottom, maybe?
Sherry Shepherd?
Ah, yes. That must have been our mistake. We mixed it up with the ER script.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, this isn't...
It's a little, yeah.
I didn't live this life. I didn't have any of these experiences she's talking about. I thought maybe I was high when I wrote it, or... Okay, so let me ditch that. And then the next thing I have is the mystifying allure of gratuitous luxury.
That works for us.
Okay, good. Let's do that. The mystifying allure of gratuitous luxury. idrinkforareason.com/luxury. As I continue my toddle through this life that others have chosen for me, I'm talking to you, God. What was the deal with the Red Sox blowing that 5-run lead to fucking Kansas City last Tuesday? And how about that crazy thing with you getting me drunk and then having me accidentally run over that boy's dog, killing it? What were you thinking? Anyway, I will on occasion have a momentary lapse in my endless habitual daydreaming where I will see things in a clear and stark way that point out some absurd human foible that, although a ubiquitous part of my life, I hadn't really noticed before. That's my gift. And it's a shitty gift, too, so don't get jealous. Some people refer to this as an epiphany, but I think that might be a little too grand. It suggests an angel's knowing hand in the whole thing. The latest in these tiny what-the-fucks occurred early yesterday evening as I was in my hotel room pooing. I was experiencing a particularly bad spell of IBS that saw me cramped and on the toilet with my arms uselessly wrapped around my stomach as I leaned forward in some involuntary sense-memory reenactment.